We're in a series called Dusty Books, and we're looking at some of the neglected letters of the New Testament that people don't often get around to reading. And I had actually planned this morning to do 3 John, but when I opened up 3 John, there I saw 2 John, right between 1 and 3 John. Neglected, paid no attention to, not the first and not the last. And I thought, why should 2 John just lie there in obscurity, unnoticed by so many? 2 John needs some love too, all right? And so today, for just a moment, it's not the first and it's not the last. It's the middle child, I mean the middle book, that's going to get some love. Middle children, unite with me today for just a moment. This is our moment right here. 2 John is going to shine, and I love it. As I got into it, man, there's so much goodness in this letter. And so let's just begin in verse 1. It says, "The elder to the lady chosen by God and to her children." All right, the early church attested that 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John were written by the Apostle John, who also wrote the Gospel of John. And he is well known by this time. He is up in the years. He's well known to the churches. There's no reason for him to give any description of himself or to give his name. It's just the elder. Everybody knew who this was. This was John. And it says that it is written to the lady chosen by God. And that's a way of talking about the church. It was one of the ways they would talk about the local churches or ladies chosen by God. The church is chosen by God. And so the lady chosen by God is the local church, and her children are the members of that local church. All right, so that's what he's saying right there. It's confusing to us. When you understand that, you also understand the closing verse, verse 13, where it says, "The children of your sister who is chosen by God, send their greetings." And so all he's saying there is, these members of this other church, where John is apparently staying right now, send their greetings to this church that John is writing to. All right, so listen to what he says. All right, beginning of verse 1 again. "The elder to the lady chosen by God and to her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth, which lives in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, will be with us in truth and love. It has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as the Father commanded us." All right. We've got some good stuff right here because John is revealing to us something powerful about what truth is. And if you ever have some time to meditate on scripture, this will be one of those wonderful places just to spend some time this week sitting here and going, "Man, what does this mean?" Because look what he says. Pay attention. Look at this next one. Look what he says about truth. He says, "To the people whom I love in the truth." The truth is something that you can be in that creates relationship with other people. When you're in this truth, it binds you to some other people as well. To all who know the truth. Truth is something that you can know. How many of you know Michael Jackson? Yeah, there's a movie out by him right now. And so a lot of people we know, but truthfully, nobody in here knows Michael Jackson. We know about him. But none of us really know him. And when the Bible uses the word know, it often carries with it that idea, not of simply knowing about something, but of intimacy and experience. You've actually experienced this. And what John means right here is, to you who know the truth, not just some facts, but you have experience and intimacy with the truth. And you know the truth, he said, because of the truth. So the truth reveals himself. The truth reveals itself. It's actively pursuing us. The reason we know truth is because of the truth which lives in us. Truth is something that can live in us. We're going to be with the truth forever. Eternity is going to be spent with truth. And he says that the children are walking in the truth. Truth is not something that you know. It's something that transforms your life and you walk according to the truth. Now, when we think about the word truth, does that normally sound how we talk about truth? Because for many of us, truth is simply correct answers. It's hard facts. It's facts that correspond to reality, but that's obviously not what John is talking about right here, right? He's always talking about something deeper than that. And some of you have already picked it up, but it becomes super clear when we connect what he's saying right here to what John said in his gospel in chapter 14, verse 26, where Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life." All right, suddenly, all right, now we understand what he's talking about right here. Truth is a person. It's a person you know. It's a person you walk with. It's a person who transforms your life. It's a person who gives you life. It's a person who reveals ultimate reality. Truth is not just facts. Truth is not just correct doctrine. Truth is not just believing the right things. Truth is a person. So what does it mean then to believe in the truth, to walk in the truth, to have truth? And this is where it would, now I just think the Holy Spirit, if we all just spent time here, the Holy Spirit would reveal things to us about what that means. It means, I think, that truth is something that you walk in, not just agree with, all right? Truth, biblically here, as John is talking about it, you can't just agree with truth. You got to walk in the truth. The question is, for those who grasp this sense of truth, the question is not, do you agree with Jesus, but are you actually following Jesus? Because if you agree with what Jesus says about loving your enemies, but you don't practice it, you're not agreeing with the truth, you're rejecting the truth. Does that make sense? I mean, if truth is a person, and Jesus is truth, if you believe what Jesus says about how we use our words in our speech, if you say, "I agree, Jesus, that's right, you're exactly right," but you don't walk in that, you don't believe truth, you've rejected the truth, because truth is a person who is inviting you to walk in a way that leads to life. Truth isn't something we just believe. It's not hard facts. It's actually a way of living. And whenever we align our lives with the truth, when our lives are aligned with the truth, we're not just aligned with principles and we're not just aligned with rules. When our lives are aligned with the truth, we're actually aligned with Jesus. That's what it means. To believe the truth is actually to walk in the way of Jesus, walking obedient with Jesus, It's to be with Jesus. That's what it means to be in the truth and to actually believe the truth. To come to know the truth is not simply to know the Bible. It's to know the Jesus that the Bible reveals. It's to come to recognize that Jesus said the whole thing right here, our whole Bible, Jesus said, it's all about me. He said, this whole book's about me from beginning to end. And so when we're reading the Bible, we're not just trying to learn facts. We're not just trying to learn information. Jesus says the Holy Spirit is revealing Jesus to us. It's about coming to know him. It's about opening up the Bible and spending time with him. I tell people over and over, man, when we open up the Bible, it's like the coffee shop where we go to spend time with Jesus. We're not just reading it. Man, we're looking for Jesus. He's revealing himself to us. We're coming to know him and we're abiding in him. And one of the reasons that for some of us, man, our Bible reading gets dull and lifeless is because it's not personal and relational. Man, we're not opening up the Bible going, Jesus, I'm coming to know you. What is this saying about who you are and what you love and what you hate and believing that in the pages of scripture, we're actually getting to spend time with Jesus. We're abiding with him. We're hanging out with Jesus until the character of Jesus shapes our character and we become more and more like him. Man, the truth that we seek in scripture, it's not simple rules and principles. The truth that we're seeking is to know a person, to know them, to have a sense of who they are, so that as we go through life, man, we just begin to intuitively know who he is and what he likes and what he hates. It's not just mastering information. It's drawing close to him. John wants us to know that living in the truth means believing what Jesus says about what love is. That love is not defined by what I like. Love is not defined by what I think is loving. Love is not defined by what makes me feel good or what makes me feel bad. Listen to what he says beginning in verse 5. He says, "And now, dear lady, I am not writing you a new command, but one we have had from the very beginning." This is God's plan from the very beginning of the word. "I ask that we love one another, and this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that we walk in love." This is love. You hear that? Here it is. You all know what it is? This is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. That's what it means to love right here. We walk in obedience to Jesus. And seeing this and understanding what he means by this is so central to the Christian life. I mean, and once you see it, I think it gets hard to miss. To walk in obedience to Jesus's commands is to align your life with Jesus. Not just principles, not just rules. To walk in obedience to him is to actually walk with Jesus. And that, to add to that, listen to what he says in 1 John chapter 4. Verse 7 and 8, he says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." God is love. It comes from him. And when we are walking in obedience to Jesus, we're walking with Jesus, who is one with the Father, who is the very source of love. And so to obey the commands of Jesus is to walk with Jesus. It's to become a part of Jesus's ministry in the world of pouring out grace and love to all the world. It's what it means to love, is to obey his commands and to walk with him. You guys hear me say it over and over and over again. Every command in scripture is an invitation by Jesus to take his hand and to walk with him. That's what it is. Every time there's a command, he said, walk with me. And when you're walking with Jesus, you are walking with the very source of love, a God who is love, and your life is becoming an expression of that love. And so he says, walk with him. You never have to choose between loving people and being obedient to God. It's the same thing. You never have to choose between doing the loving thing and being obedient to who God has called you to be and to the scriptures. It's the same thing. Because whenever we're obedient to him, we are in him, and he is the very source of love. This is what love looks like for us. It's to be obedient to Jesus and his teachings. And when we do so, we're loving God and we're loving our neighbor at the same time. He then says in verse 7, he says, "I say this because," he said all this, here's the reason that he writes this letter. "I say this because many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch out that you do not lose what we have worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son." We say that totally makes sense to us. If you're in the teaching, you're walking with Jesus. If you're outside the teaching, you're not walking with Jesus, because to be obedient is actually to love God. "If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take them into your house or welcome them. Anyone who welcomes them shares in their wicked work." All right, apparently, some traveling teachers have come around to the church, and they've been teaching things different than what the apostles taught. And they're teaching people that Jesus didn't actually become human, is what they were teaching. And they're saying that they have insight that the apostles didn't have. And they said the apostles only had a part of it, and they were teaching things that the apostles didn't teach. He says, guys, hey, if somebody comes around teaching things that the apostles didn't teach, you don't listen to them. John calls them antichrist. He doesn't mean they're end time supervillains. He just means these are people, when they're teaching something that the apostles didn't teach, and this is a word for us today, when people are teaching things that the apostles didn't teach, they are in opposition to Jesus. So he says, be aware of that. And remember, we said last week, there are always going to be these people in the church until Jesus comes again. We're not surprised by it. There are always going to be people in the church who say that they have knowledge or teaching that's at odds with what the apostles taught us that we have in Scripture. They're not hard to find. Jump on the internet, you'll find somebody. And the reason that they often become popular is because they say things that people want to hear. And he says, watch out for these people right here. And he's told us how to watch out for them. So already done. He said, the reason I told you what I just told you is so that you'll be prepared for these people right here. And how do you watch out for them? You know the truth. Not just words, not just rules, but you come to know Jesus. You know what he likes. You know what he hates. You know who he is. He's being revealed to you in the Scripture. Man, you're coming to know him and to walk with him. Know the truth and walk in obedience to his commands. And when you're walking in obedience to his commands, here's what's happening. You're coming to know him. Because the way that you know somebody is you hang out with them. And if every command is an invitation by Jesus to walk with him, every time you say yes, to the command of Jesus, you're walking with Jesus, and as you walk with him, you come to know him. And John says, hey guys, if you know him and you're walking in obedience to his commands and you're loving God and you're loving your neighbors and you're coming to know him in a deeper and deeper way, hey, you'll be able to spot these guys when they come. If you know Jesus and you're hanging out with him, you'll know when people don't know him. Even when it appeals to you, even when their teaching sounds great, even when it's something that you would like to believe, when you are coming to know him and you're growing in him in knowledge all the time because you're hanging out with him, you're going to know those people. You're going to see it when they come. He said in verses 10 and 11, he said, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take them into your house or welcome them. Anyone who welcomes them shares in their wicked work. It's always important whenever we're reading Scripture to kind of picture what's going on and to think of the context that's happening right here, because I fear that some churches have taken this verse out of context right here. Remember what's going on. John is talking about some traveling teachers who are going around teaching people things that don't align with what the apostles taught. The church at this time is meeting in people's homes. And when somebody housed one of these traveling preachers in their home, they were endorsing and platforming these traveling teachers. And John says, hey guys, don't do that. Don't do that. What this is not a command about is making sure that we don't have anybody in this gathering this morning who's doing some wrong things or who doesn't believe in Jesus the way that we do. It's not what he's talking about at all. This is not a command about stationing people out in front of the door and make sure that no ungodly sinners get in here to worship with us this morning. It's what's not happening here. We want people, all people, whoever they are, whatever their life is like, we welcome people into this time of worship to learn about Jesus with us. Because we believe that what sets the platform for people to change and to hear the good news of Jesus Christ is being loved before they change. All right? And that's really super important for us. All right? What opens people up to the good news of Jesus Christ is when people love them in their messed upness, in their dysfunction, in their brokenness, in their anger, before they clean up, sober up, or straighten up. What sets up the possibility that they're going to be open to it is that some people love them before they even begin to change. And one of the cool things about grace is it's been that way from the very beginning. And you guys who were here in the beginning, you set that DNA. And when people walk into our church gathering on Sunday morning, and the only question we have to ask about the people we see here in this gathering right here, the only question we have to ask is, how can I make them feel the love of God for them? So we got to, how can I make them feel that God loves them? And it does not mean that we agree with people when we love them, when we're kind to them, when we take them to lunch, when we hang out with them, and when we're friends with them. And sometimes people don't get that. And they think simply because we love people and we're gracious and we're kind that we agree with everything that everybody does. That's not the case at all. But we believe that people get transformed within the family. And it's being loved by the family that Christ works that transformation. Now, the place where we do apply verses 10 through 11 at our church is when people step into leadership. Because those who are in leadership and those who are teaching, there's higher expectations and there's higher accountability for them. And so we do want to be careful who we platform and who we endorse here at Grace. And doing that is not unloving. It's protecting the very truth that saves all humanity. And so that's where we practice the principles that he's talking about there in verses 10 and 11. And he closes this letter with these words right here. He says, I have much to write to you, but I do not want to use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to visit you and talk with you face to face so that our joy may be complete. Man, was this written in 2026? Because is that verse not really, really, really good? Do y'all catch that? John says, there's some things I want to say. There's some things that are burning in John's heart right here. He says, guys, man, I want to tell you this. A letter's probably not the best way. John says, because when I tell you what I want to tell you, I want you to see my face. I want to tell you face to face. I want you to hear my tone. I want us to be together when I say that. You know, they used to say that 93% of communication is nonverbal. That statistic has been debunked nowadays. So now basically they say nowadays, it's like, it's only 70%. Okay. I mean, 70% still a lot of communication is happening when we are face to face. And how many times have you had something that you wanted to say? It's kind of burning in you. And there was a quick and easy way to do it. And yet wisdom would say, hey, not yet. Not till I see your face. So that you can hear me and see me, so that it can be embodied. Listen, man, we believe in embodied love, with some love, with some skin on it. That being present is huge. And there's some things that can be handled by text and post and all sorts of other things. But the scripture right here just lays out some beautiful wisdom for the time in which we live right here. When John was wise enough to say, 70% of my message is looking me in the face and hearing what I have to say. And that wisdom is probably one that the Lord would love for us to hear today. Do you know the truth? Do you know the truth? And some of us who have grown up in church go, yeah, man, I know the truth. I know my Bible. I know what Jesus says. And Jesus goes, no, that's not knowing the truth. Do you know the truth? Because to know what he says and not align our life with it is to see Jesus with his hand held out and to say, no, I'm not going with you. I agree with you. I think you're right, but I'm not going with you. To agree with Jesus is to reject the truth unless we actually walk with Jesus. And is there something the Holy Spirit would reveal in your life this morning where you're saying, you know what, I agree. Jesus said that. I agree. It's true. I agree with the word that we need to confess our sins to one another if we really need healing, but I'm not going to do it. I agree with the word that my words are powerful and have life and death in them, but I'm not going to change the way I speak. I agree with the word about what I do with my body. And sometimes when we agree with Jesus, we feel like we've done something. And we walk away while Jesus' hand is stretched out. And not only are we walking away from Jesus, we're walking away from really loving people, because the way we love people is we get obedient to Jesus, who is the fullest expression of the love of the Father. Are you walking in obedience to his commands so that you come to know him and so that his love pours out, gets embodied in you, because that's what this is all about. You come to know the truth, and the truth sets you free from the bondage to sin, so that we can actually become the kind of people that God intended for us to be from the very beginning. People who are releasing life and blessing into all the world. The truth is pursuing you today. The truth is pursuing. You're not coming to him. He's pursuing you. And the way that we take a step forward is we just say yes to whatever Jesus is speaking, whatever that looks like for you today. Would you just say yes to the word he's speaking? Let me pray. Lord, I thank you. I thank you that you love us. And Lord, I thank you that you became embodied. You didn't just tell us. You came and you dwelt among us. We saw it. We thank you for that. Lord, I pray for those embodied conversations